Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
What I'm not going to do is just wait. I think it's fair to say that I've shown a lot of patience and have tried to work on a bipartisan basis as much as possible.
Sure.
And I'm going to keep on doing so, but in the meantime...
Oh, yeah, you're a tough company.
Let's figure out what we can do lawfully through executive actions to improve the functioning of the existing system.
Mm-hmm. When you play with matches, you take the risk of burning yourself. And he's going to burn himself if he continues to go down this path. The American people made it clear on Election Day. They want to get things done, and they don't want the president acting on a unilateral basis.
Good for John Boehner and bad for Barack Obama. As you know, we discussed it yesterday, and I said that the president is exhibiting signs of mental illness, and I wasn't using words loosely. I believe he's mentally ill, and I think he's suffering from megalomania. Now, before I tell you what megalomania is, I'm going to ask you a question. Should Obama be impeached, but on what grounds? Be very cautious in what you say, because we want to have a legitimate conversation. What crimes and misdemeanors has he actually committed? I have a list of 13 that might come up to that bar. Should Obama be impeached, and on what grounds? Number two, why has Ebola disappeared from the news? Did you hear about New York City? Well, we'll tell you more about that later on the Savage Nation. There's a conspiracy where it has been discovered that Obama has been caught ordering the press to cover up Ebola. Did you hear that? The number of people under active monitoring for Ebola in New York City triples, according to officials in New York City. The number of people under active monitoring for Ebola in New York City has tripled, and yet the media is not covering it because Obama has warned them not to cover it. So should he be impeached, and on what grounds is the question? I believe he's showing signs of clear mental illness, and the mental illness would be megalomania. Now, before I begin describing that and taking your questions here on the Savage Nation, I have to preface the discussion of megalomania or egotism or narcissism, which are all on the same spectrum, by saying that everyone in politics and in the media suffers from one of these or several of these conditions. It depends upon where on the scale you land. There is no one in the media, myself included, who could say that they are not either narcissistic, egomaniacal, or in the extreme case, megalomaniacal, in the sense bordering on the paranoid, because you can't be in the media without having some sense of self-aggrandizement. It's impossible. You cannot get up every day and give a speech unless you have some sense of grandiosity. You cannot get on the radio every day without thinking you're super important. The question is, where does the delusional fantasy of power begin? See, that's the issue. This is a fine line that we walk in the media. But don't let anyone tell you that they're above it and they don't suffer from these, from some disorder on the spectrum, as I define it. But what is megalomania? The word megalomania, which is never used anymore, it's not used, it used to be used in my day. It's derived from the Greek megalo, meaning large or great, and mania, madness or frenzy. And its first use was in English, in the English language, occurred in 1890 as a translation of the French word megalomanie. Freud, the greatest psychiatrist in the history of the world until the revisionists came along. Sigmund Freud said that of all of the adult neurotic sense of omnipotence, his belief is a frank acknowledgement of a relic of the old megalomania of infancy. Of infancy. Did you hear that? This belief is a frank acknowledgement of a relic of the old megalomania of infancy. So in other words, if an individual acts like an infant, where they were protected in the crib, they're acting in an insane way if they're an adult. Do you understand that? The old megalomania of infancy. And Freud went on, he said, we can detect an element of megalomania in most other forms of paranoid disorder. We are justified in assuming that this megalomania is essentially of an infantile nature and that as development proceeds, it is sacrificed to social considerations. Close quote. As you know, Obama has never sacrificed his ego to social considerations. It's all about him. It's always about him. It's only about him. He's just devastated his party in the worst bloodbath they've seen in our lifetime. And he gets up and gives a speech as though nothing happened. And then doubles down and says, I'm going to go and do executive orders. Screw you. If that's not megalomania, if that's not megalomania, tell me what is. I'd like to know what megalomania is. Other psychiatrists have said that megalomania is normal in the child. You hear that? And it is often reactivated in later life in gambling. That's very interesting. Otto Fenichel said that for those who react in later life to narcissistic hurt with denial, a similar regression to the megalomania of childhood is taking place. That's very interesting. And I don't mean to become a therapist here on the radio show, but it is a symptom of pathology. There is no question in my mind the president is suffering this pathology, in that he is reverting back to his position of power and saying, I have absolute power. I will do what I want. I cannot be touched. No one can affect me. Now, we all know what happened during the election. The people said, no, we're not going to accept a dictator in this country. No, your crimes and misdemeanors are legion, and we've had enough of you. So they threw his entire party into the garbage, by and large. They threw the Democrat, socialist, liberal machine into the dustbin of history. That's what happened. So I raised the question of, will or should, well, should he be impeached? Yes. The question is on what grounds. Now, I can discuss this if you wish, and I will do it. Because I think it's the whole reason I wrote Stop the Coming Civil War was for the post-election period. Because this book, these 300 pages and 35 pages of references, is the document that must be used by John Boehner to seek impeachment of the president before it's too late. So what has he actually done? I have a friend in New York. I hope Jeff doesn't mind my mentioning his name. Jeff, email and say whether I can mention your last name or not. Because he sent me a list before the show of what he thinks is impeachable. Now, before I read his list to you, I'm going to read you what the Constitution says. The U.S. Constitution provides impeachment as the method for removing the president, vice president, federal judges, and other federal officials from office. The House Judiciary Committee holds hearings and, if necessary, prepares articles of impeachment. These are the charges against the official. And then there's a whole series, right, of what you have to do to get the impeachment going. Now, one of the key crimes is treason. The Constitution sets specific grounds for impeachment. It can't be because you don't like his suit. You don't like his voice. You don't like the way he talks. To be impeached, you have to commit specific crimes. They are treason, bribery, and other high crimes and misdemeanors. To be impeached and removed from office, the House and Senate must find that the official committed one of these acts. Now, what is treason? Treason is a very, very difficult to define act, especially with a man who has used the law to commit treason while saying he's not committing treason. In fact, if you listen to the speech I played at the beginning of the show, you listen to him committing treason again. Listen to clip two all over again, and listen to how he's going to parse the truth once again and slip around the treason he's about to commit by granting amnesty through executive action. Listen to clip two.
What I'm not going to do is just wait. I think it's fair to say that I've shown a lot of patience and have tried to work on a bipartisan basis as much as possible. And I'm going to keep on doing so. But in the meantime, let's figure out what we can do lawfully through executive actions to improve the functioning of the existing system.
You hear what he just said? He knows that executive actions do not permit him to make law. He knows that an executive action can only be used to improve an existing law. So he's already laying the groundwork for being the slippery eel that he is to commit yet another treasonous act. So what is treason? The Constitution defines treason in Article 3, Section 3, Clause 1 as follows. Treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them, meaning the states. Listen to this carefully. Treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them, meaning against the states, or in adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort. Giving them aid and comfort. Interesting. So has Barack Obama given our enemies, the enemies of our states, aid and comfort? Well, he just said yesterday or today he is going to use an executive order to eliminate the sanctions against Iran. Let's start with that one. But he hasn't done that yet. But what has he done that's given aid and comfort to our enemies? Let's make it really easy for you. Didn't he release Guillermo Terrace, who went back to the battlefield? Sure he did. He did. He did that. Is that not an impeachable offense? I'm asking you. Now, we're having this discussion as though there's actually a Republican Congress, which we know there isn't. We understand that there may be a Republican Congress one day, but it won't be very soon. He released five terrorists from captivity at Gitmo, who all returned to fight the U.S. on the battlefield. Now, my expert says to me the following. He says the Gitmo release may be protected, however corrupt it is, by Obama's 09 executive order closing the facility. However, the fact that prisoners were swapped for Bo Bergdahl could get Obama impeached over a technicality. You see, the administration was required to notify Congress at least 30 days before the transfer as required by law, and that was not done. They were notified the same day the deal was done. So let me go back again to this. If you commit treason as a president, you can be impeached. What is treason? It consists only in levying war against the states or in giving our enemies aid and comfort. That's interesting. So what do you mean by aid and comfort? He released five of them. Isn't that aid and comfort? What would you call that? What do you think about that one? Does that work for you? The phone number is here, 855-407-2828. And when I come back from the break, I'm going to take your calls on the issue of should the president be impeached, but on what grounds. And I'm going to ask you why has Ebola disappeared from the news, and I'm going to read you a blockbuster story showing you that Obama has been caught ordering the press to cover up Ebola with that slime ball who runs the CDC, that slimy creature in the CDC, the man whose mouth looks very odd. The phone number again is 855-407-2822. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. You know, this is a very, very interesting topic to discuss, which is impeachment. I realize the Republicans are the least likely. The current leadership under the gobbler McConnell, and I call him the gobbler and a half for years because of the gullet. He looks like a turkey, sounds like a turkey, walks like a turkey. He is a turkey. But he is the leader of the party. Boehner, I call clink because you can hear the ice cubes hitting the bottom of the glass every time he speaks. So this is not the leadership that's going to impeach him. However, there are some young Turks and Turkettes who are not turkeys. The young Turks and Turkettes are not turkeys, and they're liable to impeach this president because there's only so much madness this country can take. And I would argue that the sooner the better. Now, some will argue, no, don't impeach him because he's the best thing we've ever had. He's like the gift that keeps on giving, and it'll guarantee a Republican majority forever. But for what end? If they're not going to do what they were elected to do. What do you think this landslide was about? Never mind the media went right on to some sports and entertainment the next second. That's the same media that said that the Republicans were going to get beaten in this election not 3 months ago. That's the same media that tells us that all of the immigrants come here to work. That's the same media that covers up the Ebola epidemic that was caused specifically through Obama's open borders policies. Yes, it's the same media that's caused the problem that is burying the problem and that will not acknowledge that there was an earthquake on Election Day. What the hell is an election for if it's not to change a government or to change the direction of a government? What the hell do you think the elections are for? Do you think it's a joke? Elections were held in order to avoid a revolution. Do you understand that or not? Get it through your thick head. An election was held which caused an earthquake which said, dump the entire progressive agenda. And if you keep frustrating millions and millions of people by taking their ballots and tossing them in the East River like they don't exist, then you're going to get what you don't want. And nobody wants what can happen. But if you have a maniac in the White House suffering from megalomania who gets up there like he just won the election, I had never, ever in my life expected this man to do what he did yesterday. Ever. You figure if he's a brilliant politician, which he is not, by the way, he's just a mean-spirited narcissist who was given this position by some silent hands. His entire life has been that of favoritism and favors. The guy gets up there like he just won the election. And then he says, I'll tell you what, I'm going to use executive action because I've compromised and I'm going to do what I want anyway. So, you know, you have to ask yourself a question. You say, come on, Savage, you're making some strong statements here. Can he be impeached or will he be impeached or should he be impeached? Are three different questions. I brought up one, treason, aid, and comfort. We're going to argue about that in a minute. I have 12 others. Using the IRS to target conservatives, Christians, pro-Israel groups. This list was put together for me by the brilliant writer Jeff Rovin. The Justice Department conducting criminal investigations of Fox reporters. His refusal to enforce immigration laws. His signing of an executive order regarding illegals in defiance of Congress. His assault on the Second Amendment by issuing in one day 21 executive orders to undermine the right to bear arms, especially the order that allows doctors and hospitals to investigate without cause patients who own firearms. Without congressional approval, HHS ordered abortion coverage in conflict with the First Amendment and Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993. By forcing Obamacare on the public, by lying about cost and by bribing senators, including Mary Landrieu, which is why she will lose the runoff. That's definitely impeachable. Fast and furious, running machine guns to Mexico. Definitely if Obama can be tied to the Justice Department action through emails or phone conversations. FCC, DOE, DOI, and EPA have all exceeded authority. Definitely impeachable if you can prove that the Peso Navante ordered these actions. It's very hard to tie it to the Godfather, especially when there are so many buffers between him and the actual acts. Rewatch the movie The Godfather 1 and 2 and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You know, actually, I would enjoy having some Kentucky bourbon with Mitch McConnell. I don't know what his preferred drink is, but my interactions with Mitch McConnell.
Now, let's turn that off. What's interesting is he met with Mitch McConnell once, and he says that he's always worked on a bipartisan basis as much as possible between golfing and partying with rap stars, traveling to Hollywood, collecting gelt anywhere he can. He's worked on a bipartisan basis in between all of the other things. So I have a list here that I'm going to continue, sent to me by Jeff Rovin. I brought up one, which is the Gitmo release, but there's about 14 other events you can talk about. And where's the gentleman who's a lawyer who says I'm wrong, blah, blah, blah? Is he dropped? Okay. And what do you do if a president loses his mind? Tom on WMAL in Washington. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, my wife told me you were brilliant 2 years ago, and I gave you a shot, and you have proved it. 6 years ago, I started telling people, this man is a Bernie Madoff and Elmer Gantry all rolled into one, and they looked at me like I was crazy. Then about
He is Elmer Gantry. That's very interesting. And Madoff, a Ponzi scheme manipulator, and a barnyard preacher like Elmer Gantry.
Exactly right. And you know, unless I was a store manager with a lot of people, and you run into one of these people maybe out of 100 or out of 500, and unless you've ever run into one, you can't recognize him. That he's the guy, the women are starting to see it because they're the ones that would say...
I'm sorry you're breaking up. I'd love to listen to you. Yes, I see it. I've seen it for a while. Narcissism, we've heard. Everyone, you know, that's a baby. Always a narcissist. It's baby talk. Everyone in politics is a narcissist to one degree or another, or they wouldn't be in the public eye. Everyone in Hollywood is a narcissist to one degree or another, or they wouldn't be in Hollywood. Okay, we understand that. You know, Shakespeare said all the world is a stage, so we're all narcissists. Isn't that true? You leave your house in the morning, you're a narcissist. Unless you stand with goo to your infant or nurse your baby and roll on the floor with your dog. But the minute you step out, you're putting on a performance. One way or the other, you're going to the supermarket, you're going to perform. Putting on makeup to go out, you're putting on a performance. So we're all entertainers and performers. We're all selling something. I get it. The nature of the human being is to be somewhat narcissistic. We get it. But you carry it to its extreme, it becomes a mental illness, as we can see in Hollywood. But in Hollywood, we expect it. If one of the Hollywood sluts exhibits herself continuously on Instagram, such as Sean Penn's daughter or Alex, whatever his name is, Alec Jones, is not Alex Jones, he's a good guy, I'm sorry. What's his name? The actor. Alex, whatever. He was in one of the Three Brothers. Baldwin's daughter on Instagram showing her behind. That's madness. We understand that, but we expect that from the daughters of actresses, liberal actors, especially those without beauty and looks, beauty and talent. Of course they can exhibit their behinds like that. That's not megalomania. That's pure stupidity. That's just white trash behavior. But in a president, if you look at megalomania, you know, what is it? What is megalomania? It's dangerous. It's a psychopathological condition which is characterized by delusional fantasies of power, relevance, omnipotence, or by inflated self-esteem. Again, that's a very difficult line to define. Which president doesn't have absolute power? Tell me one. Which president does not have absolute relevance? Which president does not have what in his mind is omnipotence? Which president has not or will not have inflated self-esteem? None. So the question is, why am I defining Obama as mentally ill and suffering from megalomania? Why? Because it's a matter of degree. The degree was breached yesterday after the party that he represents was wiped out, after the entire progressive platform was pushed into the dustbin of history. Did you see a man saying, I'm going to compromise, I'm going to reach across the aisle, I'm going to work to bring the country together? You didn't. You saw not a defiant man, but a mentally deranged man. To be mentally ill doesn't mean that you have to get up and start drooling on yourself. This is the problem with America today. The level of understanding and education is so minimal that it's very hard to tell you that a president is only a man. Let's start from the beginning so you can follow my logic. Make believe that I'm Plato and we're having a dialogue and we're just starting from the beginning. And I'll ask you as the interlocutor. You'll be the child learning from the master. And I'll say to you, as a politician, not a man. Why, yes, he is, sir. Was a politician not born of a woman, like all of us? Yes, sir, he was born of a woman. Is it true that any one of us can become insane at any time in our lives? Yes, sir, it is true that we can become insane. Well, if a politician is just like other men, is it not true that therefore, that a politician can also become insane because he is a man? Yes, sir, it is true. Do you understand what I've just done for you? Now, I told you I once studied a logic in mathematics. I remember this. I was testing my own sanity when I was 20 or 21. I wasn't thinking as clearly as I had thought when I was 16. I went off the rails somewhat. But the thing is, I took a course in logic and scientific method at the City College of University of New York, CCNY. I took it because I wanted to take the toughest course I could in philosophy in between my bachelor's degree and my higher education. And I took a course where I had to translate the Greek dialogues into mathematical formulae. And then I had to write it in mathematics rather than in English. And I got an A+ in it. And I realized that I have perfect logic. Now, my logic has not faulted me. And what I just did for you on this radio show has never ever been done in radio before, which is I use perfect mathematical logic to prove to you that a politician, like any other man, is capable of becoming insane. And so therefore, we have to ask ourselves, how will we know if a person's insane? That's the next question. People don't drool on themselves or, you know, walk around twitching or acting like a nut if they're nuts. Some of the most normal-looking people are crazy. You know that from the mass murderers. You know that from the con men like Madoff. He was pathologically ill, conning everybody. You understand that? Have you not met someone in your family who's crazy, who acts perfectly normal. Someone who puts on a dress every day and looks fine but is nuts. Someone who puts on a beautiful suit and tie but is crazy in many ways, really crazy, pathologically crazy. Yes, we all have. And we exist with it all in every day of our lives. So am I looking for a perfect man to be a politician? No. Do I think Obama should be a perfect man? No. But shouldn't he be better than us? Shouldn't a president, after 6 years, exhibit some better qualities of character than he is exhibiting? Yes. And by exhibiting qualities that are mean, that of a small shopkeeper, a man running a bowling alley would have better judgment than he does. And I don't mean to put down men who run bowling alleys. A man who runs a candy store would compromise if he lost half his business. If a man lost half his business, he would do something the next day to say, I'm sorry I drove all these customers away with my stupid behavior, my arrogant behavior. I'm going to change my ways. I'm going to have a sale. I'm going to bring you back in. Instead, he said, I'm glad you went away, and I'm going to continue to drive you away because I don't like you. It's my candy store. I'll do what I want. That's the behavior of a small shopkeeper. The only people I've ever known to behave like that were French restaurant owners. They were a stereotype. I don't mean to launch into the comedic in the middle of the political, but I did know a French restaurant owner like that. If he didn't like you, he'd throw you out of his restaurant. Well, it was laughable in a restaurant. I was once in a restaurant, I won't say where, and wonderful man, by the way. He was Czech, not French, but it counts for about the same, that one. And it was a crowded restaurant, a busy night. It was jammed, and he asked one of the customers. He would walk around, talk to the customers. The fireplace was roaring. People were eating their goose and their duck and their venison. And it was a beautiful night in an inn out in Point Reyes, California. And he went up to a table, and he asked the man what he did for a living. The man said he's a banker. Well, this guy launched into a tirade against the customer in front of everyone. He said, a banker? You're nothing but a usurer. And he went on and on about lending money. And he said, get out of my restaurant. I don't want any of your money. Get out of my... He threw him out with three other... Now, that's laughable if you're owning a little restaurant somewhere and you have that sense of, you can do what you want. But it's not laughable when you're the president of the United States and you just lost half your customers. Half of America said, Mr. President, we reject you and all your policies. Take your left-wing progressive garbage and send it back to Berkeley and Harvard where it came from. Send it back to the universities where this rubbish passes for intelligence. We don't want it in America. Goodbye. So the next day, instead of saying, I'm sorry I lost these customers, and here's what I'm going to do to get you back, he said, go away, I don't need you. In fact, I'm going to double down, and I'm going to continue doing what I've been doing. Now, there's another phrase that may apply, which is anyone can make the same mistake twice, but if you make it three times, you're an idiot. So there's an issue here of impeachable offenses, to go back to the cheat sheet sent by Jeff Rovin. And I'll continue now. The White House recess appointments to the National Labor Relations Board and Consumer Financial Protection Bureau when Congress wasn't in recess, impeachable. Barack Obama eliminated the work requirement for welfare recipients in defiance of congressional law as signed by Bill Clinton. Impeachable. He bailed out General Motors unlawfully shortchanging bondholders to benefit labor unions. Impeachable. He exposed details of the operation to kill Osama bin Laden, which is a violation of law, to reveal classified military secrets. Impeachable. Obama lied about the killing of Ambassador Chris Stevens in Benghazi. He wasn't under oath, or that would go from probably impeachable to definitely. So in my opinion, the opinion of other people who have studied this, he has committed some impeachable offenses. And I would argue that collectively there's a pattern of lawlessness that must be arrested immediately, or else we're going to get into an area in this nation that we'll never get out of. If you look at all of those potential offenses of impeachment, some of them are just on this side of law. He always skirts the law. Him and his gang are very, very clever in abusing the law. It's why they study the law. The reason a guy like him would go to law school, or a guy like, what's his name, Holder, would go to law school is to learn how to get around the law, not to help the American people in any way. It's how to get around the law. See, there are people who go to law school for the right reason. Then there are people who go to law school for the wrong reason. And the bad ones go to law school to learn how to skirt the law in order to get around the law. So collectively, he has a pattern of lawlessness, in my estimation. And I'm asking again, should Obama be impeached and on what grounds? And I've given you about 13, 14 examples, in my opinion, that might be impeachable. And I believe that it's worth talking about. Now let's talk about yesterday's news conference. Here is a question in clip number 4 by Ed Henry, and listen to how he parses the answer in 4.
On ISIS, it was a pretty dramatic setback in the last few days with it appearing that the Syrian rebels have been routed. There are some Gitmo detainees who have rejoined the battlefield, helping ISIS and other terror groups, is what the reports have suggested. So my question is, are we winning?
Well, I think it's too early to say whether we are winning, because, as I said at the outset of the ISIL campaign, this is going to be a long-term plan to solidify the Iraqi government, to solidify their security forces, to make sure that, in addition to our air cover...
In other words, he won't answer the question. We all know he's the worst commander-in-chief in the history of this country. And many of us are asking, why is he letting people be buried alive? As last week, 150 members of an Iraqi tribe were buried alive. And why is he letting some of the worst cases of human rights abuse ever in history to go on, such as the rape of young girls and the sale of young girls by these subhumans in the Islamo-fascist brigades who could be wiped out in about 3 days if we had a real military commander who really wanted to wipe them out? So you have to ask yourself, why is he going lightly against these barbarians or these subhumans? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
What stands out to me, though, is that the American people a message, one that they've sent for several elections now. They expect the people they elect to work as hard as they do. They expect us to focus on their ambitions and not ours. They want us to get the job done.
So what does that mean? It means he'll do what he wants anyway. They want you to get the job done? You mean your job, the job that you want done. Is that your interpretation, my friend? That's not right. That's not what the people said. Well, that's not what they said. He said he's cooperated, he's participated, he's this. He hasn't heard that the ground has moved under his feet. The earth moved under his feet. There was an earthquake that hit the White House, that hit Congress. And all of them are going along like nothing happened. There go the clowns on the Republican side, the rhinos. All of the lobbyists are celebrating, the ones who gave us the Iraq War, the trillions of dollars they stole on that war. They're lining up again on K Street thinking that happy days are here again. They'll gin up a war now against Russia with that psychopath John McCain. They'll invade the Ukraine in order to take land from the Russians. Wait and see. They'll knock out Assad, and you'll see a wholesale slaughter of Christians and Jews like you've never seen in your life because it's good for business. The Republicans are lining up again to do just what they did in Iraq. They could care less about the vote. They think they were given this vote because you like their policies. They think that they're geniuses. They didn't hear you. You don't understand. The Republicans didn't hear you. It's going to be the young ones who are going to have to seize the power away from the old ones. We need a revolution. We need Ms. Ernst from Iowa. We need Mr. Cotton from the Deep South. They need to take over this party or all is lost in this country. John Boehner is not a leader. The Gobbler is not a leader. No, my friends. Obama won't be impeached, but I'm laying down some rules for future reference. I'm telling you, what I gave you today is worth listening to, and I'll give you more when I return right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
As president, I have a unique responsibility to try and make this town work. So to everyone who voted, I want you to know that I hear you. To the two-thirds of voters who chose not to participate in the process yesterday.
Liar.
I hear you too. All of us have
God,
to give more Americans a reason
sickening.
To feel like the ground is stable beneath their feet.
I would remind you that extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. And let me remind you also that moderation in the pursuit of justice is no virtue.
That's Barry Goldwater, long forgotten but my hero. I'm a Goldwater guy, and it's his voice who said that extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice, and moderation, right, in defense of virtue is no virtue. Defense of liberty. Now, collectively, what we see is a lawlessness unlike any we've ever seen in the White House in modern times. Surely in the past we've had brigands in the White House who were worse than him in some ways, but never before has a president had so much power, nor has a president ever had the press so much in his pocket, and there was no Hollywood in those ancient times to parse the truth and to create fantasies about who we have in the White House. He has committed high crimes and misdemeanors, and we've been talking about impeachable offenses on the Savage Nation for the first hour. Now, what he just said will be played for you in clip 12 is very telling. I want you to play, Neil, clip 12 again and listen to this. Let me repeat it. He says the American people sent a message. One they've sent for several elections now. What does he mean by several elections now? Meaning, well, it's just like an election when I was elected. They expect the people they elect to work as hard as they do. Right? He goes on. And he says, I heard you. He says, I heard you, and to the two-thirds of voters who chose not to participate, I heard you too. Now, there's the liar at work again. There's the megalomaniac, the liar, the double-talking lawyer at work. Because two-thirds of the voters never vote in midterm elections. So what he's saying to you subtly is, oh, we heard you nuts on the right. We heard you nuts. We know you're the cause of an earthquake, but you know it doesn't really count. Because all of those who didn't vote, the stoners, the college girls on drugs, all the minorities, all the illegal aliens we couldn't get into the polls yet, well, they didn't participate. But I listen to them more than I listen to you, and I'm going to represent them more than I'm going to represent you nut bars. That's what he just said. Do you understand how crazy this is? So this is a very big deal. And I want to tell you again that I worry about him and I worry about this republic because we don't have a leadership that even heard us, by the way. Boehner didn't hear us. The gobbler, McConnell, didn't hear us. They're going along as though suddenly it's them all over again and it was all about them. They weren't elected to power because we like them. Who's we? We the people. We voted, didn't we? But we don't really count to Boehner and to McConnell. We're just the nuts. So who are they responding to? The K Street gangsters who are going to get us into another foreign war? And what might happen is extremely dangerous. Is there enough evidence to call Obama a traitor? Well, in his best-selling book, Stop the Coming Civil War, Michael Savage makes a well-documented argument that the Obama administration is waging a multifaceted war on America's borders, language, culture, military, middle class, healthcare, science, and schools. And I list all of the reasons. And I wrote that the once righteous and heroic America is replaced with a leftist government defined by immorality and greed. I define it in the book, and many of you have bought it. And incidentally, it's 4 weeks now on the bestseller list, despite the blackout by Rush Limbaugh and Fox News. Despite the fact that I'm not a member of their cartel, that his brother doesn't represent me, despite the fact that I'm truly an independent conservative voice, you, the audience of the Savage Nation, have gone to the bookstores, gone online, and made this book 4 weeks in a row. They couldn't control that. You have to understand why I'm saying that to you. It's not because I don't like Rush Limbaugh. I don't know him. But he is a competitor of mine. Make no mistake about it. You'd like to think we all get together and go bowling after we're off the radio. We don't know each other. And everybody wants everybody else's position. Everybody. And I'm the only one in the business who could ever take his place, and he knows it. That's why he refuses to acknowledge me. And the little mini-me Rushes continue to undermine me at their own risk. Because the day will come and they will be gone from the landscape and I will still be here. I can guarantee you. Now, I have to say this to you. I believe the president is impeachable. I believe he has committed high crimes and misdemeanors. I've defined 15 of them or 13 of them. And I want to open it up to the callers now. 855-400-7282 is the phone number here on the Savage Nation. Is this a worthwhile topic, impeaching the president, or shall I move on? Would you like a meatball recipe? Would you like me to tell you about rolling on the rug with the dog, about driving a fast car at night in the rain around switch-out curves and skidding through the curves all alone? I mean, I can tell you those stories as well. But I'm not in the mood. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe around Thanksgiving I'll give you a turkey recipe. Or I'll tell you some homespun stories because people say, you know, Savage, I kind of like your politics, but I really like your family stories better. Tell us about how hard your father worked as an immigrant and how you went from obscurity. I loved her, Ms. Ernst, in Iowa, who said standing on the Hardee's line for biscuits to become a U.S. senator. Did you love that line or what? It's a long way from standing on the Hardee's line for biscuits and becoming a U.S. senator. I can relate to that. Well, it's a long way from working in my father's shop, and it's a long way from being a lifeguard, and it's a long way from being a busboy, and it's a long way from Tipperary to being a radio star and a best-selling author as well. But I didn't do it without you. You got to understand, I did it. Why? Because you like me? You don't know me. What do you like about me? You like my politics. That's all. You like my politics, you like my voice, and you like my message. I didn't get here by accident. I'm not pulling the wool over your eyes. I think the way most of you think, but you've been silenced by the government media complex. It's that simple. 855-407-282. Let's go to some of the great callers on the Savage program. ABC in New York City. Jacob, thanks for being a listener. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I disagree with what you said that he's insane. He can do whatever he wants through the executive order. And nobody will stop him. And why shouldn't he? He's crazy like a fox. He can do whatever he wants. He's like a kid in a candy store.
So you're saying he's not crazy. He knows he can get away with anything because, what, there's no opposition in the Republican Party? Is that the reason?
Yeah, they'll never stop him. And he has a Marxist agenda. And what he wants to do is he wants to just take America and bring everybody in and equalize it with all the other countries and bring in Ebola and bring in all the diseases and bring in all the immigrants. And lower the income of everybody here, and that's his dream, and he's going to do it.
That's pretty clear that you know exactly what you think, and I agree with most of what you just said. Should Obama be impeached in January by the new Republican Congress is one of the topics. I've defined megalomania. And what has he actually done that is impeachable? I've given you 12 different things. Now, I want to ask you something. Why has Ebola disappeared from the news? Because, what, he cured it? Moses cured Ebola. He got up there with his booming voice, and he talked you into believing he cured it. He got that fraud in the CDC to get up there and give you the phony story that Ebola is under control. It is not under control. Obama was caught ordering the press to cover up Ebola. I have that story. The number of people under active monitoring for Ebola in New York City has tripled, according to NBC News. And that is an important story that has not been talked about. They buried this for the election. I don't know if you know this. The reason New York City, quote, officials told you that today is because they knew it would work against the president during the election. Well, nothing could stop the tidal wave that occurred anyway. But the number of people under active monitoring for Ebola symptoms has increased from 117 on Monday to 357 people yesterday, health officials said. Now, why do you think the so-called health officials in New York, who are all nothing but politicians with medical degrees, why would they release that on Wednesday, not on Monday? elections. The vast majority of those being monitored arrived in New York City within the last 21 days from three Ebola-affected countries. So in other words, because the psychotic in the White House is bringing, continuing to bring Ebola-infected individuals in from Liberia, Guinea, and the other nation afflicted with this horrible epidemic, because he will not stop it, it's increasing. Why would he continue to bring people in from Liberia infected with Ebola? Why? Why would he do that to a nation that has no such disease or had no such disease other than as a result of his open border policies? What is his intent? Do you think it's humanitarian? I don't. I don't think it's humanitarian at all. I think that he wants to make certain that we all share equally. I mean, he wants to make everyone share equally. Share our wealth and share their diseases. That's his idea of sharing, isn't it? That's psychopathological behavior. It should be stopped. Do you think Boehner is the man to do it? Do you think the gobbler McConnell is the man to do it? No, you know not. You know that the first rule of epidemiology is that you stop an epidemic at the source by containing the area where the epidemic has emerged. It's called the locus of infection. That entire nation of Liberia is the locus of infection. You lock it off. You stop the people from going out of their country. You don't go to visit the country except on an emergency basis. Who has done that, actually? Which crazy crackpot racist nations have done that? Well, the African nations surrounding Liberia and Guinea have done that. I guess they're all run by crypto white men. All Southerners with nooses on their mind. Well, no, they're run by black men, and they have the interests of their own people at heart, unlike our president, who has no interests at heart other than sheer ultimate power and greed. There's nothing like this that I can say anything good about, rather. Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. And Obama has been allowed to get away with so many things that he has, in his mind, a mandate for absolute power, which is why he was not conciliatory yesterday. In plain English, what more do I have to say? How many different ways do I have to say to you what I just said to you? You know, sometimes I hit a home run on this show. I'm a Babe Ruth. I did in that first hour tonight. I walked around the bases. I knocked it right out of Yankee Stadium, and I walked around the bases. I know when it happens. I can feel it. And I walked around the bases in that first inning of this game. We're now in the second inning of a three-inning game on this show. And if you care to join the conversation, the phone number is 855-407-282. But in many ways, this hour is now your hour. Because what I did for you in the first hour has never been done in radio, will not be done again in radio, and can only be done by me, the maestro of talk radio. WABC in New York City. Corey, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Good afternoon, Dr. Savage. A real quick point, straight in. I've been looking and after reading your book, you inspired me to look in a little bit more about Obama's actions, and especially regarding Lincoln. And it seems that the magician with the mercury-laced mad hat, him in the White House, seems to have an ace up his sleeve regarding immigration. And everybody is concerned about him using executive actions against Congress. Well, the timeline that he's speaking of here is that he wants to have this immigration done by the 25th of December, right before the new Congress and Senate come in and could make an action of impeachment. My concern is here is that he, of all the lawlessness that he has done in this country so far, would absolutely have the ultimate kick in the face to everybody by not using executive order, but he said yesterday executive action. The Constitution allows him to use a pardon. What is your insight as to him potentially using a pardon for all of these illegals to gain their green cards in the country?
You mean along the lines of Lincoln's lawlessness, correct?
Yes.
Because Lincoln was a lawless president, despite people in the media who would tell you otherwise. Lincoln was a great man in one regard, he freed the slaves, but in another regard, he was an absolute tyrant. And I can prove it. And the only reason we're mentioning the ossified Lincoln is because Lincoln is one of Obama's mentors. How anyone can say that they're a supporter of conservative values and then support Lincoln in order to bash me tells you more about them than about me. But let's not waste our time with that. You raise an interesting legal question. In order for him to grant a pardon to the illegal aliens, he'd first have to admit that they committed a crime by sneaking into the country, would he not?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now do you think this president would say that 40 million illegal aliens are criminals and then he's going to pardon them? The first he'd have to say they're criminals. He's not willing to do that. So on that basis, I would say he's not going to do it, because in order to pardon someone, you have to acknowledge they're a criminal, right?
I'm not one.
And so he's not going to take his friends and say they're criminals. So I don't think he's going to use the pardon. But I thank you very much for bringing up the criminal acts of Abraham Lincoln. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. It is the Savage Nation. I warned you, I was warning you over and over again about the deadly EVD-68 enterovirus epidemic, which has caused so much mayhem amongst our children, being covered up by the media. It's another big topic that has stricken thousands of children this fall. And it was propelled through America by Obama's decision to allow tens of thousands of Central Americans across the Texas border, according to a growing body of statistical and genetic evidence. But the media has covered that one up as well. In fact, Obama used it as a positive during his speech yesterday. He said it was good that he brought in this 100,000 of children, many of whom were affected by the epidemic. And I said from the beginning that if you disagree with me, the federal government, in their research divisions, could study the genetic fingerprint of the virus that first hit kids in Colorado, Missouri, and Illinois, and see if they're related to the D68 viruses found in Central America, but they won't do that. I was the first one to say that, and a few other people followed me on that. Just do a little mild genetic analysis. It's very inexpensive to do it. In fact, if they don't do it, I may do it. I'm speaking to people in the medical profession who said it's very inexpensive to do it, that you can map your entire genome for very little money. The question is, I mean, do we have the labs to expose ourselves to that? I don't know that I want to put people into that situation. But the fact of the matter is, there is great opposition to Obama's increase in migrants, including Ebola-infected individuals from Africa who are now on the watch list in New York City. What is it going to take for you to wake up to the fact that we have an absolute madman in the White House? You know, this is not a joke. I'm controlling myself. We just won a huge earthquake, and it's as though it's business as usual by those morons running the Republican Party.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Nation, it has been a hard day's night for me, because it's like, how do you follow the election? How do you follow the election? You're going to sit and toss about who did this and who voted for that. I did that yesterday. Now you don't want to hear about it anymore. You want to move on. Now it's ready for sports, turkey, entertainment, golf lessons, horseback riding, tennis stars, wire wheels on Jaguars, anything but politics, right? Wrong. So today I'm talking about high crimes and misdemeanors and why I think the president is impeachable. And I gave you 12 or 13, more than that, helped along by my good friend Jeff Roven, who joins us now from New York City. What line is he on? Jeff is on line 10. Jeff, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thanks, Michael. It's good to finally be here with you.
Now, Jeff, how many books have you written, just so people know you're not just Joe Blow the caller?
Oh, I have written about 130 books, including a dozen ghostwritten for Tom Clancy.
Unbelievable. So you know your stuff. You're a very, very deep researcher. And Jeff, which books have you written under your own name?
Most recently, A Vision of Fire, which I wrote, co-wrote with Gillian Anderson, which actually deals with the flare-up between India and Pakistan over Kashmir. And the week the novel came out, which was at the beginning of the month of October, that flare-up actually occurred. It doesn't take a seer to see where trouble spots are in the world.
Okay, so we're living in a trouble spot. Do you agree with me that he's nuts?
Oh, I don't know that I would use exactly that term, but I would agree that he is certainly out of control and certainly out of touch. As you well know, it's easy for a person in that insular environment to be kept out of touch. But I absolutely agree with your assessment of the first hour about megalomania and how it's impacted him. You know, if you look back through history, going back to Caesar and even earlier, you see these same patterns occurring over and over.
Caesar, very interesting. So he's acting sort of like a Roman dictator, in your opinion?
I think a lot of the things that he's done have certainly drawn from that example, with unfortunate dollops of Tsar Nicholas II as well. You know, there are so many things that you brought up in that first hour that are important. The one that really struck me was when you referred to the silent hands that helped him along, and I think that helps to understand him if you look at who those hands were, because I worked with the Clintons in 92 and 96.
Wait, you worked with them how?
Well, it's kind of a long story, and I'll give you the short version. Because I was really well connected with the tabloid journalists, I was kind of interfacing between the Clintons and what the tabloids were planning to write about them. Some of it true, a lot of it not true, a lot of it planted by the opposition, so on and so forth. But more to the point, when Hillary ran for president, she was stonewalled by Howard Dean, Ted Kennedy, John Edwards, and John Kerry. There was absolutely an old boys network aligned against her. If you look back at the primary, the nomination should have gone to the convention floor. She was nibbled to death by ducks. She would win the big states like Texas and New Jersey, and then Obama would pick off the easy ones that gave no clear consensus as to who the electorate preferred. Yeah, the numbers were stacking up, but they were not definitive. And these guys did not want it to go to the convention floor, because that's where Bill Clinton knew how to work a crowd, knew how to work his associations. So that was really stolen from her, and clearly Barack Obama was not ready to be president. And we have borne the results of that.
Okay, but the election Tuesday was an earthquake by any definition, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, so how do we deal with a president who I consider to be megalomaniacal, and to a degree I've never seen in a president? You know Bill Clinton's a great politician, irrespective of whether or not you like his politics. The next day after an earthquake, what would Clinton have done?
Oh, Bill Clinton wouldn't have waited for the earthquake. He would have felt it in the air days before, and he would have started building bridges and planning his exit strategy. And I don't mean that in a negative way. He would have looked for ways on how to circumvent the destructive power of it. What we saw yesterday, as you correctly stated, was somebody so digging in their heels that it was kind of frightening.
Jeff, you're a fabulous writer. You've written so many books, and you write fiction, you write nonfiction, you write thrillers. You consulted with me on my novels with Jack Hatfield. This is how we came to know each other. Jeff, if you were writing the novel about what happens in America, beginning now, with a man like this, where does this novel go?
Well, it depends. If I'm writing it for Lifetime, then the family does an intervention. Michelle and the girls.
Stop it.
You know what? Unfortunately, I don't think that impeachment is a solution, despite what you and I have talked about. I think that galvanizes the left and becomes a distraction to the necessary business of government that the GOP must do now in Congress. They've been handed a kind of a hall pass for 2 years to get things done, and I would immediately bring up those 300 or so bills that the House passed that Harry Reid never let go to the floor of the Senate, and get those pushed through the Senate and get those onto the president's desk, and be able to tell the American public, look, we're trying to do the work of the country, the business of the country, and the president will not let us. And that, to me, is a kind of a non-dramatic, almost sad Citizen Kane-like end to the story. You know, there's that wonderful scene when his rival politician is telling him he needs a lesson and he's going to get it. And he does, and he ends up alone and lonely in Xanadu. And that, to me, is the plausible finale to this.
Yeah, but wait, Jeff, what happens if he does the executive action on amnesty? Everyone knows what a disaster that will be. What happens in your novel at that junction?
Unfortunately, you know, as you and I know from working on thrillers, somebody gets through who shouldn't get through, does something terrible, and then you have that kind of day of the locust moment when people turn and kind of storm the executive mansion and say, what have you done? What's happened to us? How did this happen? There are so many ways that it could go that, writing science fiction is difficult. Writing political thrillers may be even more difficult because events tend to outpace you, and you can never tell, because of all the moving parts, how it's going to go.
You stated that you worked on the Tom Clancy novels with him, correct? How many?
All of the Op Center novels.
All right, so if Tom Clancy would work with you, Jeff, it's because you have the ability to see ahead and to plot things, right? I mean, you can pretty much plot things better than anyone I've ever met. So again, going back to the country today with this character in the White House, write a plot for us. We've got millions of people hanging on your every word. I don't think they've ever heard you before on radio. You're not a regular guest. I've never seen you on television. And yet you're one of the most famous, unknown people in America. Write a novel for us. How does this end, Jeff?
It ends with the man being isolated by his own party. Again, I didn't use the word intervention lightly. Somebody close or close enough has got to tell him, look, this is not working. I had hoped that Harry Reid would step aside and that someone like Charles Schumer, who is our representative here in New York, would be able to ease in and maybe mend some fences there. I don't see that happening.
Right. Schumer, despite his leftist tendencies, is far more sober than Harry Reid.
Absolutely. He is better connected. In a good sense. I mean, Harry Reid knows a lot of people, but I think Charles Schumer understands the dynamics of how to work with Congress. And by the way, that was obviously the biggest problem that Barack Obama ever had was that for the active year that he was in the Senate before seeking the presidency, he formed no alliances, did not see how they were forged. And if you go back to the effective presidents like LBJ, he knew that place inside and out. He got things done that nobody could have imagined. You and I were alive for that. We remember the impact.
Yeah, LBJ was the greatest deal maker in American history.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But, you know, you mentioned Schumer. We're going to go on a tangent. Do you know that he was on this show when I was a local host. Do you know that he worked to stop the Dubai ports deal, which was my greatest victory as a talk show host? I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, I absolutely do, yeah.
It's when George Bush was trying to turn over our port security to the folks in Dubai, and nobody could understand how that could be to the benefit of America. Remember that one, Jeff?
Oh, absolutely, yeah, yeah. It was not that long ago, and it was pretty frightening because there were no checks and balances there whatsoever.
And people don't understand that I'm actually not that partisan. They don't quite get it. But Bush was a clear and present danger to our security with that Dubai ports deal because he was owned by the folks in Dubai and God knows their cousins in Saudi Arabia. And I said so at that time. But here we are today with an individual who has no saving graces, while Bush had many saving graces. What are we going to do for the next 2 years as he gets increasingly Captain Queeg-like with everything except the stainless steel balls in his hand as he speaks to us?
And the strawberries. That's actually a frighteningly apt analogy, metaphor, because that's, again, that ends up with Queeg in isolation. And you can say he had the best intentions in the world. I don't agree, but let's say for the sake of argument that Barack Obama did. And just like Queeg did. You know, there's a wonderful scene when the prosecutor comes and tells everyone at the end of the Kane Mutiny, this is the guy who protected us when we were in our beds and blah, blah, blah. And this is how we've rewarded him. But in Queeg's case, of course, his breakdown was obvious, and it was public. This man is staying in control and protected.
But where does he get the strength of personality to not acknowledge what he just did to his own party? Where does that come from?
You know, if you look at the rationale that they put forth, which is this idea that, well, two-thirds of the people didn't vote, and when they come out to vote in 2016, they will oust the GOP, which is completely tone-deaf and misreads what happened. But you know as well as I do that because he was insulated from criticism by the backroom boys that I mentioned earlier, he has never had to face this kind of a public censuring. And you pretty much summed it up in the first hour.
He's had the skids greased for him from the time he was a young man back at Punahou High School. To the best of my knowledge, he's never really had to fight very hard for anything. It was given to him by the powers that be. So now he causes his own party to go to strike an iceberg. The ship is sinking. They're jumping off the ship of progressivism, and he continues to steer along as though the ship is still afloat. So, you know, I mentioned the Kane Mutiny Court Martial, it was a great novel. Humphrey Bogart played Queeg brilliantly. But there was a court martial during which time he could defend himself and be prosecuted at the same time. Where is our court martial when this man is finally called up onto the charges of having steered the ship of state into an iceberg?
We're not going to have it, and we're not going to have it because, as Bill Clinton has said, and I really did admire Bill Clinton. I mean, we didn't agree on a lot of things, but you can't fault his intelligence and his perceptiveness as to the needs and wants of others. We can avoid the jokes on that one.
Did you actually work with the Clintons face to face?
Yes, and I was.
Okay. I never knew that till this show today. Never heard that. It's interesting. No, it's interesting that you have such a perspective based upon reality. So you know tremendously powerful personalities, and you're telling us things about Clinton that I never knew, for better or for worse. But now we have a different sort here. Isn't Clinton going to go in there and try and talk to him? Aren't some of the Clintonites going to try and save the Democrat Party?
They will, but it's a question of, you know, how it's sort of like World War II in the sense where how many fronts are you going to open up? And I don't think there's going to be a concerted, again, to use the word intervention, to try and bring him around. Look, let's face it, a lot of the senators who lost were complicit in their own demise because they voted for things that they knew were not right, but they went along and did it anyway.
Jeff, hold that thought. This is going better than I thought it would go. We're speaking about the impeachment of Barack Obama. I laid it out in the first hour. I now have one of the most important writers in American history on the show, Jeff Rovin, discussing why this won't happen. And I'll be right back with Jeff Rovin on The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN.
I would remind you that extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. And let me remind you also that moderation in the pursuit of justice is no virtue.
I love Barry Goldwater, and I'm a Goldwater conservative. Unfortunately, we don't have a Goldwater. And I have to read you something. I just got this from my publisher. Jeff, are you still there? Hang on, Jeff. He left. Okay, he'll be back at the top of the hour. You know, I asked my publisher to tell me how the New York Times has been describing my book, Stop the Coming Civil War. It's 4 weeks now on the bestseller list, despite the blackout by Fox and all of the others. Listen to how they describe the book. Here's how the New York Times describes Michael Savage's book. Quote, the radio host urges true patriots to save the country from the machinations of the left, close quote. I think that's fair. Neil, doesn't that sound what the book is about? The radio host urges true patriots to save the country from the machinations of the left. Is that not what we're talking about on the show today and every other day? Save the country from the machinations of the left. Now, the machinations of the left would include those on the Republican side who are on their side. They're not on the side of borders, language, and culture. When have you heard Boehner say he's going to do anything? Now, he did say that if you play with matches, blah, blah, blah. Do you really believe him? Do you really believe him? Now we have a president who says, although he lost, he didn't really lose because two-thirds of the country didn't vote. That's astounding. First of all, it's a lie because two-thirds of the country doesn't vote in any midterm election. So it's a lie. But we did vote, and there was an earthquake.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Before the end of the year, we're going to take whatever lawful actions that I can take that I believe will improve the functioning of our immigration system, that will allow us to surge additional resources to the border, where I think the vast majority of Americans have the deepest concern.
I would remind you that extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. And let me remind you also that moderation in the pursuit of justice is no virtue.
Now, that is, of course, Barry Goldwater. People don't even know who he is anymore. He should have been president, but it was stolen from him. Goldwater was a really great conservative from Arizona. And what he said was extremism in defense of liberty is no vice. So you'd say, well, Obama's being an extremist, but he hasn't reversed Obama. Obama's using extremism in the defense of tyranny. So Obama is actually acting like the enemy within. Surging at the border? What do you mean putting money at the border? To do what? To further neuter the border patrol? Is that what he intends to do? Because he's neutered the border patrol. And instead of saying we're going to listen to the people, there was just an earthquake, we leftists realized that you don't want our policies and we're going to listen to you. I may not agree with you, but I'm the president and I'm going to listen to the people. He just said the opposite. So he's saying, I'll use extremism in the defense of tyranny. Right? Isn't that what he just said? And I will use it over and over again because I cannot be stopped. Why? Because he hasn't been stopped. As you well know, power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And on that note, I will refer to the fact that I wrote a novel entitled Absolute Power. And joining us right now is, where is Jeff with us? No, not yet. Oh, Jeff's back with us. Jeff Rovin. Jeff, welcome back to the Savage Nation. Jeff, you heard what I just said. Extremism in the defense of tyranny is what Obama seems to be doing. Isn't that correct?
I would parse that a little bit differently, Michael. Attorneys are not known to be extremists, and he is at heart an attorney. I think he's doing a little bit of what Lincoln did in this sense. You know, Lincoln skirted a lot of law by declaring the South in rebellion. He did not categorize it as a war, which would have made him vulnerable for many of the actions that he was taking to, you know, suppress and disperse and retire the participants of that rebellion.
Right. In the 1862 proclamation, Lincoln said that the rebels and insurgents in the southern states had created an insurrection and they were subject to martial law and their right to a writ of habeas corpus was suspended. That's not tyranny?
No, it is. What I'm saying is that the way in is by carving out a very careful path that seems to be legal but isn't. And what the soundbite that you just played was exactly that. It was an attorney setting up all of the parameters that he feels would allow him to do exactly what you just said.
Correct, but Obama is, if not in... You said he can't be impeached because they won't do it, blah, 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 and there may not be an actual impeachable offense. I would argue, Jeff, that collectively there is a pattern of lawlessness that is impeachable unto itself, meaning maybe an individual act is not impeachable, but you put all of them together and there's a collective pattern of lawlessness.
Well, unfortunately, in law, and I'm not an attorney, but I've done a lot of work with intellectual property, and the collective... the aggregate of sins does not necessarily weigh in favor of what you just described.
I understand. That's why we have elections. So during this election, there was a landslide, an earthquake. We said we're not going to wait for those damn lawyers. As you know, Samuel Johnson wrote the law is an ass. We all know that most lawyers are asses and that they use the law to get around the law. They write their own laws and they dance around the law. We all hate lawyers for that reason.
Right.
Right? Samuel Johnson said the law is an ass. The fact of the matter is we don't need the law to tell us what's going on. We're not that dumb. Obama is violating our constitutional rights and our Constitution by using the law against the Constitution and against the people. He just said, I don't give a damn about the election. I'm as concerned about the two-thirds who didn't vote. What does that tell us, Jeff? This tells us that there's liable to be an insurrection or a civil war in this country if this man keeps pushing that agenda. That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, that's why we have juries instead of lawyers who ultimately decide the fate of a defendant. And what you just said, the electorate has been that jury in this case. And so all of the fine-tuning of the legal phraseology does not change the fact that people say, you know what, it's just not working, it's just not right. And that's what he continues to ignore.
He continues to ignore it at the risk of what? His entire party being made irrelevant for 50 years?
It's, you know, it's at a really interesting tipping point right now, because what happened on Tuesday was something that Bill Clinton had talked about often, which was the danger of identity politics. And that is when you start carving up Americans into, you know, I'm a gay American, the hyphenates, the I'm a black American, I'm a Jewish American, I'm a, you know, whatever, however you want to describe things,
mm-hmm.
when you start breaking up the demographics like that, which is what the Democrats have done of late, and which failed tremendously on Tuesday because Americans stepped up to the voting booths. This is what we need to see more of. It was a repudiation of that hateful kind of divide that we've seen, that people of your and my generation absolutely and utterly reject, because we were raised by a generation that was proud to be American. The hyphenate was an afterthought for a one-day parade every year, and now it's become how too many people measure themselves, and that's just not good for the country.
Yes, but Obama's risen to this point of power by hobbling together this collection of hyphenated Americans, hasn't he? The gay American, the African American, the illegal American, you name it. These are his hyphenated. This is his hyphenated a group. So why would he stop when it worked for him until now? And what he's saying is, I'll continue to marshal them right now for the next election, 2016. In fact, that's the new mantra of the progressive left, if you want to call them that. Nancy Pelosi said, we got to work on getting all those who didn't vote to vote. That's what they're saying now. They're not acknowledging any of the one-third who voted. We don't exist to them.
Well, because that runs counter to that kind of breakup that they're looking to achieve. And it's what I said about how Obama first won won in quotes, the primary, which is he fragmented the electorate into suitable bites that gave him numbers, but not really a mandate. And that's the point that he missed then, is the point he continues to miss now. And the Americans that spoke on Tuesday are much more unified and much stronger and are much more empowered, which is what I hope the GOP understands, that this is a potentially a new birth for an old America. And you've been playing those clips of Barry Goldwater. You probably remember the TV ads that said, in your heart you know he's right. And the people just rejected that ultimately.
But I know who wrote the Daisy ad about Goldwater. You remember the Daisy ad?
Yep, the nuclear war ad.
Right. That was created by a lawyer in Washington who I once met, who was JFK's lawyer, by the way, going back a very long time. I met him casually. He was a brilliant strategist. But he created that hit piece against Goldwater and destroyed him. That way. But let's move on to today. What is going to happen tomorrow? You're a fiction writer, a nonfiction writer. You're a science fiction writer. You're a comic book writer. You're a film script writer. You're a television writer. You write scripts all the time, Jeff. Give us some scripts for what happens in America over the next 2 years.
Well, this is the kind of thing where you know you end up with a very lonely, isolated man. You can work this one backwards.
No, wait. I don't care whether he winds up isolated and alone. I want to know what he's going to do to my country.
Well, but what I'm saying is, here's here's how you, and you know from how we've plotted things in the past, is sometimes you have to look at the end in order to kind of reverse engineer things to the beginning. If you end up with him isolated and alone and work backwards from that to figure out how he got there. And I think it's not, you know, it's sort of like the fall of the Roman Empire. It wasn't one event that caused that. It was a series of events. And I think that's what you're going to see here. You will see Democrats turn on him. You will see young people who voted for him and who can't get jobs turn on him. You're going to start to see those little pieces that they broke off to win in 2008. You're going to start to see those pieces coagulate in different ways.
Well, wait, we saw African Americans turning on him in Chicago 2 weeks ago. We see Mr. Scott turning on him today saying stop race baiting. We see that lovely daughter of Haitian Americans who wins in Utah turning on him because they don't want an African American young lady. Why do we suddenly see African Americans standing up to him? They can read this man. They can look right through him.
Yeah, and I think that's significant in both Utah and South Carolina, where you have African Americans, very really sharp young people who have been talking about how the country's going in the wrong direction. They're going to get some much needed attention, and that's going to be wonderful for us, because again, they're looking at this country as America, not as a hyphenate. And that was so exciting for me to hear this morning. And again, I just hope that the elders in the party, the ones you were chastising in the first hour, the new speaker and Boehner, who I think has done some wonderful things, but I'm hoping that they don't blow this opportunity and that they listen to the new voices.
So when we come back, Jeff Rovin, how can Boehner not blow this opportunity when we know that he shows every sign of being the same milquetoast he was before the earthquake we gave him and the gobbler? I'll be right back on the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. We're talking about the impeachable offenses of Barack Hussein Obama. The question is not, should he be impeached? Because we all know he should be, by the pattern, by the things he's done. But the question is, will he be? And my guest says no. No, he says no. Jeff Rovin, very famous author. Jeff, welcome back to the Savage Nation. Jeff, you wrote how many novels for Tom Clancy or with Tom Clancy?
I wrote a dozen of those.
All right. Now, many of my listeners know Tom Clancy, and they know how great he is as a writer. And they don't know that you worked with him. And the reason I'm mentioning that is because, as such, you're a great plotter, meaning you can create plots. You have a great imagination. You're a fiction writer. We're talking about the fiction of America under Barack Obama. So you say you end with him isolated and alone, like Captain Queeg. Not exactly impeached, but alone. And so what good does that do us if he continues to violate or get around the law?
Well, in terms of practical matter, you mentioned John Boehner before you went to commercial, and I think it's interesting to think about Boehner's background. You know, like you, like myself, he did not come from privilege and advantage, and he had to work to get where he is. And I think when he was elected House Majority Leader after Tom DeLay resigned in disgrace, I think that had an impact that made him, as you call him a milquetoast, I would say he's been very cautious. However, anybody who has come so far and from such beginnings, I think will feel the stirring of his calling, and I truly believe that he's going to rise to this occasion, because certainly now he's got the backing of the entire Congress, and he's got an ally in the Senate, and he realizes that it is absolutely essential that he and Mitch McConnell act now and act positively. They will not simply obstruct. I believe they will try to ignore the massive impediment on Pennsylvania Avenue and work for the good of the country, because, like all of us, they're patriots.
Okay, so let's quickly play clip 17, John McConnell on the executive amnesty that Obama is threatening. Neil, can we fire that
170? The president choosing to do a lot of things unilaterally on immigration would be a big mistake. It's an issue that most of my members want to address legislatively, and it's like waving a red flag in front of a bull to say, you guys don't do what I want, I'm going to do it on my own.
But he didn't say he would do anything. There's an example, again, of McConnell saying nothing.
Well,
he's sounding like he's saying something, but he's saying nothing.
No, I actually think in this case he was being very smart and still remaining conciliatory in this 48-hour honeymoon period that really isn't such a honeymoon period. And he was very gently laying out a warning of what not to do, because he knows that Barack Obama is going to do just that, because Obama said we need to have this reform passed by the end of the year. Of course, Harry Reid will still be running the Senate then. So it will not be anything.
But you and I both know immigration reform is a code word for amnesty. That's what it is. And they're responding to the racist group La Raza. They're responding to that mouthpiece Gutierrez who makes everyone's flesh crawl. And they just destroyed the Democrat Party itself, because most voters don't want amnesty. That's the secret of all of this. Most Democrats don't want amnesty for illegals, Jeff. Agree or disagree?
I can't really speak for what most Democrats want. I think that what happened in Colorado and Pueblo in particular, where a great many Latinos did not vote, I think suggests that they are not happy with how things have gone. And the president will interpret that one way. The GOP will interpret that another way. So
wait a minute. Colorado went Republican for the first time in a long time. This is a very, very communist, leftist, socialist, progressive state, if you want to put it that way. How did that happen?
Well, I think you had a number of counties. Particularly, don't forget, you've got the Air Force is there, and that is.
Yeah, I have a large audience in Colorado Springs. They listen to the Savage Nation. A huge number of people bought my bestseller, Stop the Coming Civil War, up in Colorado Springs. I'm sure they have to hide it from their overlords who've been put in by Obama. How can this military survive, Jeff, having been gutted by Obama? Any quick words on that?
Well, the same way that NASA has survived, and that is just barely. Don't forget, this is an important thing, is that one of the first things that Obama did was kill the manned space program.
I know that. Well, Jeff, we're almost out of time, and I know we could talk again. How about once in a while, Jeff Rovin, you appear on the show and we toss around some great ideas?
Betcha, and that'll be a good place to start.
All right, go back to work. Don't let me stop you from writing another bestseller. I'll be right back. Be here, be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Therefore, they would win this election. Unfortunately for them, they were not living in reality. And I've tried to tell you for years, liberalism is a mental disorder. It answers virtually all of your questions, meaning you say to yourself, how could they do X when it doesn't make any sense? And if you plug in the answer, liberalism is a mental disorder, it satisfies virtually every one of your questions. It's that simple, because they do things that make no sense. How could they not vote to approve the Keystone XL pipeline all these years, when it would bring sorely needed oil and revenue to America, make us less dependent on the Saudis, at no environmental cost to America, and the Democrat unions even want it? Why do they oppose it? Answer, liberalism is a mental disorder. And I can give you many examples like that. I try to use common sense and logic on this program and in my books. Now, that leads us to some questions I want to ask you today, and I have 10 of them. One. What do you think the Dems would be doing today if they had won? No one's thought of that. Let's say that it was a reversal and there was a Democrat landslide or earthquake. What would the Democrats be doing right now if they had won? What would Obama be saying today if they had won? Two, what do you want the Republicans to do immediately? What do you want them to do at all? Three, what's the biggest story of this election? Four, what part of Obama's agenda will now be put on hold forever? I can give you a hint on that. Because two things are going to happen that are going to save America. You want to hear one of them? All of the psychopathic, liberal, communist, socialist judges that Obama was going to appoint to the federal bench and, God forbid, even to the Supreme Court are not happening. It's over. He cannot stock the courts with any more psycho-leftist lawyers as federal judges. That's the good news. That's immediate. It's not going to happen. He may try to do it in the next 2 months. I don't think he's going to get away with it. Okay? What will the Republicans do immediately? You want to hear what they're going to do immediately? The XL pipeline. The Keystone XL pipeline will be built. It should have been built 3 years ago. Now, right now, as you know, oil is lower than it's been in many years. And that's because of all of the fracking in America. That's because of all of the other sources of energy that are coming out of the ground here in America, thanks to the private sector, no thanks to Obama, who's been the most obstructionist president in American history. And the Keystone XL pipeline, by the way, most Democrats wanted it passed. They were held hostage by one liberal billionaire and all of the psychos in San Francisco and Austin, Texas, and Denver, Colorado, who like to block people with their bicycles. But they're finished. And so the Keystone pipeline will be built, and oil prices will drop further to $50 a barrel, is my estimation. The Saudis are cutting the cost of oil in order to undermine our natural energy sources here. But they can only cut so much until eventually they're going to be eating sand. Six, what does this election do for Hillary Clinton in 2016? I've given you a hint. She's finished. She's a dodo bird. She's a total and absolute product of NBC, ABC, CBS, and MSNBC. She is not the viable candidate they would like you to believe. She's a guava on the jungle floor. She's been rotting on the jungle floor for years. They want a woman, yes, but they want a younger, more dynamic woman, and it's not Hillary Clinton. She's finished. She's yesterday's news. She should be running the University of California. That's what she should be doing. That's where she belongs. Number seven, who are the new stars of the Republican brand? Did you see Mr. Cotton in the South? An American combat veteran, 32 years of age. He's a bright, shining star. Miss Ernst from Omaha, from Iowa, sorry, one of the best. She's a new star. Number eight, do you think that my book, Stop the Coming Civil War, and my show, my daily show, help push the Republicans to victory? You'd have to say yes. You'd have to say talk radio had something to do with it. And I am one of the giants of talk radio. Whether you like me or not, it doesn't matter whether you do or not. My audience is large. I'm on the biggest stations in the country. I'm on drive time in the East Coast. So whether you like Michael Savage or not is rather irrelevant. This show helped push the Republicans to victory. How? Because I got people to vote who wouldn't have voted. I don't know that I converted a lot of people from the D to the R column, but I got a lot of you, the listeners, who weren't voting anymore. You gave up on the Republicans. And I said to you, hold your nose, vote for the Republicans, and then we're going to lobby them, beginning today, Wednesday, to do the right thing. Number nine, what do you think tilted the election the most? Was it Obama's bungling by bringing Ebola to America and his mishandling of Ebola? Is it his mishandling of the war against the Islamic fanatics who are auctioning off children as young as 9 years old to be sex slaves to degenerate old Islamo-fascists around the world? You don't know that, do you? Did you know that they're auctioning off little girls that they capture, Christian girls and Azidi girls, and they're selling them these pieces of human offal? And do you know that this administration has done nothing to defend the poor people in Iraq, and everyone knows that? That's a big issue. That's a very big issue. History was made yesterday. Democrats are the weakest since the 1920s. The Republicans have every congressional seat in Arkansas the first time in 141 years, and that's Bill Clinton's home state. We also have a new hero. My new hero has emerged, Joni. I love her. Joni of Iowa, she's my new hero. She should be the next president. She should become the face of the Republican Party. Not only is she a farmer, she is also an officer in the National Guard. She's the woman that we need to save America. Now, she said she's going to go to Washington and do what, Robert? We have that soundbite?
It's a long way from Red Oak to Washington. From the biscuit line at Hardee's. To the United States Senate. But thanks to all of you, we are heading to Washington. And we are going to make them squeal.
She's my kind of girl. This is the real McCoy. This is the woman that the Democrats pretend to be. This is the woman that can save America. This woman is the worst nightmare Hillary Clinton has ever seen, because she could wipe the floor up with that phony Hillary Clinton. And I'll tell you something else. The Democrats are going to go after this woman tooth and claw, because she is the real McCoy. So we have a new hero for me. What a shellacking they took. My perception is a little different than the others out there, because I've actually spent all morning reading the exit polls, and I don't think others in the conservative media have bothered reading the exit polls because, well, they're numbers, and most of these people don't know how to read numbers. I do. I'm trained in reading statistics. They're not. And it's easy to be glib and say it was about the repudiation of Obama, which it was in part. But you've been making a giant mistake if you think this election was the country moving to the far right. I'd like to say it was. You know I'm as to the right as you're going to find in the media. But it was not about moving far to the right. I've got to tell you, the data does not support that. I found out why the people voted. And there are many surprises for you on the Savage Nation. And there are facts you don't know. You may have listened to some shows. We all have. But you don't know all the facts. And I'm going to give you the facts that I uncovered that I think are very important for you to know. Because now everyone's talking about, oh, 2016. And the conventional wisdom is, well, midterms don't really count because it's mainly white, older, wealthier, better educated, and therefore they don't exist in a general election because that's when the women and the minorities come out. Well, I got news for you. That's not what happened here. It's generally true, but not entirely true. Did you know that black turnout in the South was not low? You didn't know that. It took me hours to find that little fact. So don't jump to the conclusion that in 2016, the Democrats are going to come back. There was an article in the New York Times, the Democrats' Southern problem reaches a new depth. And if you look into detail in that article, you'll find something that you cannot believe. And that was the fact that the Democrats' liberalism, especially their social liberalism, gay marriage, marijuana, you name it, destroy the Democrats in the South because the South is extremely, extremely conservative. And it raises doubts about whether a future Democratic presidential candidate such as, God forbid, Hillary Clinton, can count on doing better among Southern white voters than President Obama did, as many political analysts to this day think that she will. I don't think she will. Because her liberal big city policies do not play in conservative districts. It's as simple as that. And if you look into the data in the South, you'll find some interesting facts. I want to go back in history for 1 minute before we move on. During the American Revolution, it's an interesting fact. Of course, it was a smaller population, totally homogeneous, etc., small nation. Only about 30% of the citizens at that time wanted to fight in the revolution against the British. 30% were indifferent, and another 30% actually wanted to remain colonists, meaning they wanted to remain dominated by the British. They loved being dominated by the British. They got along very well with the ruling class from England. And as I said, have things really changed? If you look at the dynamics in America today, it's about the same 30-30-30. It's roughly a third, a third, a third to this day. So don't worry about the two-thirds because you're never going to change the entire population's thinking. You only have to concern yourself with the one-third that has always been vigilant. And that's my audience. I speak only to the vigilant. I'm not interested in the others. My manifesto to the Republicans, if you'd like to see it, you can get it on my website, michaelsavage.com. It's up on the top right. Let me just check it. Here's an interesting line. I said, Savage explains that Obama isn't the stereotypical Marxist of the Red Beret, the marching, the Russian Revolution, and killing the rich type. Savage places Obama in the historic Frankfurt School of Socialism, which espoused the gradual transformation from capitalism to socialism to communism. Now, I did that in 2010. You've heard all of that on many other shows who think they invented it, but they read it in my book. Documenting numerous radical left influences in Obama's past, Savage concludes it's no wonder that as a candidate he spoke of spreading the wealth around. And then I make a reference to the Roman historian Cato the Elder and his observation that the average Roman didn't care about what the legions were doing in foreign lands. You know what they cared about, Savage asked? They cared about the pebble in the shoe, meaning what affected them on a daily basis. They didn't care about the Roman legion victories in Spain or in Germany. They didn't care what was going on in Germania with the legions. The average Roman cared only about the pebble in the shoe, meaning did the price of meat go up? Did the price of bread go up? Did taxes go up? That's all they cared about. Did they have a job? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CON. Well, it looks like the conservative movement has been granted amnesty by the election yesterday. That's what we've been talking about. We have amnesty now, and here are the questions I've been talking about on the Savage Nation. What do you think the Democrats would be doing today if they had won? And what do you want the Republicans to do? What's the biggest story of this election? What part of Obama's agenda do you think will be put on hold? Now, what will the Republicans do immediately? Will they pass the Keystone XL pipeline? What does this election say about Hillary's chances in 2016? Who are the new stars of the Republican brand? Do you think my book, Stop the Coming Civil War, and my radio show, The Savage Nation, helped push the Republicans to victory across the country? Well, what is it that tilted the election most? Was it Ebola? Was it Islamic extremism? The Islamic fascists? How did Dems playing politics hurt them in the midterms? We've asked you if you are Hispanic, how did you vote and why? But the thing was, the Hispanic vote was not significant in this race at all. In fact, if you look at the exit polls, according to the Wall Street Journal, and I know polls were all off, by the way. You know, they're all, you know, worth very little. But there was a 2014 exit poll conducted by the Wall Street Journal. And what was amazing to me is the voting patterns were quite telling. Reason for vote: to support Obama, 19%. To oppose Obama, 33%. Obama, not a factor, 45%. So for Limbaugh to claim that the Republicans were elected to stop Obama, not work with him, is ludicrous. He's got it wrong. And I have to refer to Limbaugh because everyone thinks he knows everything. If a man's copying my music and virtually everything I do, how much can he know? No, Obama isn't the biggest factor. Not by what I see. I don't like Obama. I've written books against him. But according to these exit polls, that's not the reason people voted. What were the top issues? Are you ready for this? The economy was number one. Health care was number two. Illegal immigration was number three. And foreign policy was number four. Health care law, did it go too far? 48% yes. Didn't go far enough? 25%. The economy was split, getting better, getting worse. But this is very intriguing. Should the government take stronger action against the Islamic State? Approve 58%, disapprove 35%. Now, that's a very interesting, telling poll. And it does not say what the prognosticators on the so-called conservative media in the radio are saying to you. The thing is I have an advantage in that I can read data. I have a PhD in epidemiology and other scientific fields, and I know how to read statistics. If you're a high school dropout and you've only been reading football scores, not only can you not read data, you're not interested in data. So I'm telling you that although we'd like to say it was all about Obama, it really wasn't. Yes, wherever he campaigned, they lost. Wherever Hillary campaigned, they lost. But that's not the reason. At least this is one big poll from the Wall Street Journal. That's my opinion on the Savage Nation. So what was the real reason? Well, the Democrats are now the weakest since the 1920s. Hollywood bigs are reeling from the bitter election defeats. They thought that their money could buy them happiness. Women deserted Obama's Dems. Did you know that? 100% of the newly elected GOP senators campaigned on repealing Obamacare. That was a bigger issue than ever. Of course, the woman I like the most is Joni from Iowa, the pig farmer, National Guards woman. Love her. We're going to make them squeal. Oh, yes! Squeeze them tight. Squeeze them tight. Clinton, useless, washed up, can't win. Hillary is finished. I agree with Rand Paul. Hillary was soundly rejected. She's worn out her welcome out a long time ago. But the most dangerous 2 years in history now begin today. That's right. So you could say we had a party with the bad ideas versus the party with no ideas. And the party with the bad ideas was the Democrats, and the party with no ideas are the Republicans. But the biggest issue is the pebble in the shoe, going back to Cato the Elder in Roman times. The economy, the economy, the economy. See, the people in the middle class feel it the most, not the rich, not the poor. So it's all about the economy. And so we, the American people, have handed the Republicans the reins once again, not to grind away at their own agenda, not to benefit their friends and cronies, but for once to do the work of the American people. That's my message to the Republican Party, because this may be our last chance to save America. This is Michael Savage calling on patriots to stop the coming civil war. Thank you for voting, thanks for listening, and God bless America.
Savage.